Program continues ahead. 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor, unavoidably detained today, so he's not joining us. But we do have...
Michael.
The Wonder Producer. I don't know where that name even came from. It just kind of floated out of my mouth one day. I don't know if that's good for you or bad for you. Just picture when you're running one of these races in public, somebody goes, Michael the Wonder Producer!
And I'll just be like, oh boy, I better run fast.
Yes, you know, and you do have groupies, apparently.
I do?
So, yeah, we had a few weeks ago somebody called in and congratulated you on your running prowess.
Oh, that's right. So, I do remember that.
So, see, the people tune in for you. I don't know why, but they do.
That's very interesting.
So, lots to talk about on the show today. We've spent a little bit of time talking about, if you missed earlier, we were talking about this little six-year-old in California that was having some problems sharing Christmas traditions in her class. She was told to sit down after she dared make mention of her Christian faith. Also, we were talking about the interesting gadget that helps you not to slouch. I don't know that that'll sell very well.
Yeah, I'm not buying one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen here. You know, at least the app's free. I got to say, the app that goes with it is absolutely free, and I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Because if I'm laying out $150 for a gadget that's supposed to make me sit up straight, that app better be free.
Yeah, I don't want to have to pay $2 or $3 for it.
Sorry, that's not going to happen. But one of the other things we've been talking about is the state of the state. And again, this hour, we are glad to have with us another state senator. John Prose has joined us, and he's going to be discussing state of the state. Senator, welcome to the program.
Happy to be with you. You know, for us at the dinner table with my three kids, it's a matter of just reminding them that they're supposed to sit straight. I don't think we need an app for that. We just need more moms and dads out there. Sit up straight. Come on now.
Well, and I think the gadget is for those of us who are beyond help. You know, we've already moved out.
I think they call those back muscles and abdominal muscles. Isn't that what it's called?
I don't know. I don't use them much. So, you know, it's just... Well, Senator, I'm glad that you joined us today. Of course, a momentous day, particularly for Governor Snyder. He's delivering the fourth State of the State address. Senator, you've been through a few of these. Do you feel like this one's going to be similar in flavor, or do you think there's going to be some differences here?
Well, I think there's likely to be an analysis of where we've been. And after all, where we were just a few years ago was not someplace any of us were real happy about. You know, we led the nation in all the wrong lists, the lists of unemployment, loss of real income, folks leaving the state of Michigan and not keeping their jobs. And you know what? We can now look at some of the changes that have been made and say that there is some success happening, success that's given our families a little bit more security, a little bit more comfort. We see our revenues increasing at the state of Michigan, and that's in part because we've had over 220,000 new jobs created in just the last 3 years. We've got more people finding work than virtually any other state in the nation right now. Things are really on the upswing for Michigan, and that I think is in part a part of the story that the governor wants to tell and should tell. That doesn't mean we're out of the woods. We've still got work to do, and there's a lot that can be done to continue to move Michigan forward, though.
Do you expect that the governor might make mention of that? Because, I mean, we see the unemployment rate where it is for the state. Certainly, you know, that's better, but it's not great. Do you think he's got some more ideas in mind to be able to move that a little forward?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, in fact, some of those ideas I understand that are going to be a part of this are things that I've worked on for well over a year in the Michigan Senate. And that's career and technical education and STEM education, science, technology, engineering and mathematics. You know, we want to have the very best kids possible for a talented workforce that today in advanced manufacturing are looking for people. Today in our agricultural and agri-science businesses are looking for people. This is an opportunity for us to really double down on some of the investments that can be made in career and technical education. And my Senate Bill 66 does exactly that. And I know that the governor and I are working closely on that one, as are so many others in the state of Michigan, to make a very positive change in our Michigan merit curriculum to get across the line for our business and economic success and our kids' success.
Speaking with State Senator John Prose, and Senator, one of the things that's been discussed, particularly the last few days, is this expected surplus. And one of your colleagues was with us an hour ago, Senator Schutmaker. And she talked a little bit about how some of this is one-time money and some of this is recurring money and that kind of thing. Will that be a part of what the governor has to say, or do you think that's just something a lot of people are expecting to hear?
Well, I think he will talk about it because that's a part of identification of success. You know, that scorecard, mm-hmm. that whole dashboard that the governor has for us to see where things are, how he is doing and how we are doing as a state. Part of that is are we putting money away in the rainy day fund? And we can only do that if we have the revenues to do that. And so I think that you're going to have the governor talk about it. I think the specifics, though, he's going to save for that budget presentation in a couple of weeks on what he would like to see done with some of those additional dollars that are coming in. My Senate colleague was correct that some of those dollars are one-time funds. We need to be very, very cautious about this. It's not time to go spend every dollar. Let's save some. Let's give some back to the taxpayers that have worked so very hard to send that money to Lansing. And then let's also invest in areas that we know we need to invest in, like we did this year, with over $300 million being pumped into our roadways and bridge systems, and additional money to our classrooms to ensure that our kids have the best chance for the future. I think those are areas that we should focus on, and I think the governor will talk about tonight.
Senator, one of the things that, and you hit on it, really, the governor has talked about this before in terms of road construction and things like that. If you drive around the state, you know there are some areas that need a little help. Do you feel like that this is something that he'll hit on tonight and then in turn that the legislature will work on it?
I do. I do think so. And in fact, just today I spent the better part of an hour today dealing with one of our railroad crossings in Cass County in the Cassopolis area at M62. And if anybody's traveled that particular stretch in my state Senate district, it's in terrible shape right now. And so the CN line, it runs right through there. I'm working with MDOT to get dollars appropriated and sent to that particular crossing so that we can get it fixed. That's just one example of some of the challenges that we have in our roadway systems. I think he's going to talk about it. I think we're going to continue to invest in our infrastructure. I mean, that's how we move around this state, goods and services and people. I mean, we've got to do it safely, and we want to make sure that it's effective for our economic future, too. And so I expect that he's going to talk a little bit about that also.
Now, I want to ask you the same question that I asked your colleague earlier, and that involves, you know, since it is an election year, and, you know, the governor, while he hasn't announced yet, we're all thinking that he probably will be running for reelection. I think with a speech like this, there are some voters that would be a little jaded and say, well, okay, he's going to talk about it, but it's an election year. Nothing's going to get done. Do you feel like that's true, or do you think it's not?
No, I don't think that's true at all. I think the governor is going to lay out a vision and a pathway. We in the legislature are the ones that then have to get to work on what we like about his proposals and make them fit to what we believe is best for Michigan also. After all, we're elected representatives of the people. For me, it's my Michigan's great Southwest region, and for the governor, it's the entire state. We're going to find our way through to some good and positive changes in Michigan's economy because of the work that we do in Lansing to set a better playing field for economic success. We've already seen some of those great successes. We're already seeing some of our businesses do better and some of our families get back to work that had lost jobs. More to be done for sure, but I think we're really in the right direction right now. And the governor, whether it's an election year or not, still has to lay out that vision. And he's certainly going to do that tonight.
Okay. We've been speaking with State Senator John Prose. Senator, I did have one question that veers off course here a little bit. But a few days ago, I seem to recall you were talking about graduation requirements and credit for, I guess, you know, for work and things like that. I'd like to have you expand on that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you bet. We talked about it a little bit when we were talking about career and technical education. Our Michigan Merit Curriculum are the requirements that we have so that our students learn at a very high level to graduate from high school and to be certified to graduate from high school. We want to make sure that our students learn at the very highest level so that we have a talented group of kids graduating from high school. Well, those particular requirements are sometimes challenging for students who have an interest in advanced manufacturing or an interest in agri-science or an interest in the medical technology field. Students who would rather spend some time working with their hands in what we used to call shop class. Mm-hmm. That's not what it is at all anymore. Now it's high tech, it's high intensity, and it's high rigor. So what can we do to make sure there's flexibility in career and technical education courses and graduation requirements? And that's what the governor, I understand, is going to talk about. That's what I've been working on with my Senate Bill 66. And I think that it really puts us in the very best position to allow for some flexibility while recognizing that we have to have the very best prepared students. And here's another benefit. Imagine if you graduate from high school with a series of skills that allow you to go into the workforce. That can help you in the workforce afford to continue your education at a four-year institution or a two-year institution like our great community colleges, KVCC, Southwestern, and Lake Michigan Community College. Those are just some examples of if you have transferable skills that businesses want and need today in our Southwest Michigan region, you can utilize those skills right out of high school if we allow for that kind of flexibility in the Michigan merit curriculum through career and technical education. So that's what the governor, I understand, is going to talk about, and I'm glad because that's what we've been working on, and I'm glad to be working with the governor on that.
Do you think that there's room for that type of thing with so many school systems that have adopted Common Core and that type of thing? Do you think that there's room for that sort of flexibility, or do you feel like that the two are opposite one another?
No, I think that there really is room, and it really requires participation by our businesses and industries to work with our school districts, to work with individuals on the school board, and make it a priority in our local school districts to allow for that sort of educational opportunities for our kids. I just think it's a burgeoning area of opportunity, and it's an opportunity that we really can't pass up when we know that businesses and industries right now are looking for a talented workforce who can come to work right out of high school in some cases.
We've been talking with State Senator John Prose. He's been discussing state of the state, education, and all sorts of stuff. And as I said to your colleague earlier in the show, you're always welcome to join us here on the show, whether you just happen to be dropping by or on the phone. You're always welcome here.
Well, I appreciate that. And everybody be safe on the roads. I know I'm going to make my way back home towards Southwest Michigan after the speech tonight. And I understand it's a little slick out there, so be careful.
Okay. Thanks, Senator.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And we continue the program. Make sure you keep it right here. You know what? A ticket giveaway coming up for some movies. Let's face it, it's going to be cold this weekend. You got to do something.
Yeah, keep yourself entertained. You don't want to just, you know, stay in the house and do nothing.
So dumb, stupid trivia coming your way, courtesy of Michael. We'll bring it to you here in just a little while. So don't you dare move. Okay, you can move a little. Just keep it here. Get a mental picture in your head of Michael jumping over here in the producer's booth. It's just, you know, if it was Roger here, that would be like that picture nobody wants to see.
Yeah.
But you're kind of an athletic guy, so I guess they expect it. But
yeah, nice and skinny from all that running.
Yeah. And apparently all that jumping, because anytime yes. good music comes on, you're in there just kind of digging into the tunes a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, so. I used to play basketball. I haven't played it in a while, but I'd like to get back into that at some point.
Oh, well, that makes one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just not much of a basketball player. I'm tall and have all the athleticism of a snail when it comes to that. So.
We actually had a really tall person in our class, you know, probably like 6'6", 6'7", who we always were like, go out and play basketball. You're tall. We need you. And this was in middle school, and he tried out, and he made the team, and, you know, he'd be under the basket and put it up once in a while and score. But one time he accidentally scored for the other team down the other end. He got the rebound and just put it right back up and in.
Oops. Guess he didn't play for the team the next year, I have a feeling.
No, he actually went into football.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
okay.
He was a big offensive or defensive lineman. I can't remember which one
okay.
he was. But
one of those bigger
yeah.
guys.
One of the really okay. big guys, and he played in college as well.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, at least he was able to do something athletic
yes.
there. So, you just don't want to imagine what happens with me on a basketball court. It's not pretty. I think the last time I played at all, I scored 2 points. And that was off a rebound. It was just like, okay, it's just right over here. I'll put it up. Okay. Other than that, I'm just lousy at it. You know, I do better watching basketball. But interesting thing that came up a few days ago. Apparently, there is a movement, and there was a movement, it was late last year. There were several state legislators that got together at Mount Vernon, which is George Washington's home.
Mm-hmm.
They gathered there with the idea of advocating for a constitutional convention,
mm-hmm.
which is something that, while it's in the Constitution, it's not actually ever been done.
Oh.
But they're advocating for this, the idea being that it would help to bring a control to spending, because then we could get all the states together and say, we want to pass a constitutional amendment to have a balanced budget.
That would be very nice.
So, and that's one thing to say, okay, 100 state legislators got together. And, you know, they're from 32 different states. Okay, well, that's a handful from each state. It's not enough state to be able to call a constitutional convention, because apparently you need 34 states. And you need a majority in those legislators. So that works out to two-thirds of the state legislatures, 34 states that have to be able to call it. Each state would then send delegates to the convention. And for an amendment to be adopted, it would have to be approved by three-fourths or 38 states.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got definitely some tall walls to climb there if
yes.
you're going to go that way. But there's apparently some governors that are sounding off on this and saying, you know what, may not be a bad idea, all things considered. There were several governors that went and spoke with the president and vice president at the White House. This was, I believe, early this week or late last week. I'm not sure which. In addition to that, Governor Bobby Jindal from Louisiana, he's considered a presidential hopeful. He has lent his support to the idea of federal balanced budget amendment. Also, Governor Mike Pence in Indiana has signed legislation that supports a convention. So Indiana has apparently gotten that far to say, yep, we're on board.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see how this comes together. And I guess the concept has gotten some attention because Mark Levin championed this. Of course, radio talk show host. You hear him here usually.
Mm-hmm.
And he put together the idea that a convention could get together and talk about amendments that would include a balanced budget amendment. And here's another one, term limits for senators and representatives.
That would be a very good thing to have.
And if you think about it, to this point, senators and representatives have to pass, if you're going to do this, you know, the amendments the way that they're normally done, which is through Congress and the whole bit, they'd all have to pass this thing, and there would have to be an overwhelming majority to say, yes, we want to vote ourselves out of a job. And then they have to go to the states, and the states have to sign off on it. The easier part of that is the states signing off on it, really.
Yes.
Because you get a group of 535 people to be able to say, we want to vote ourselves out of a job.
That's going to be very hard for them to do that,
yeah,
because they want to have that job.
These guys like this. It's a cushy job.
Yes.
You know, they enjoy that.
But the thing is, if we had term limits, we could get new faces in there with mm-hmm. new, fresh ideas. You know, a turnover ratio is mm-hmm. what we would have then. And I think that would just be great instead of having these old, you know, all these same people with the same ideas.
Sure.
Churning.
And if you think about the way that this has, I mean, originally, when the founders put together the Constitution, the thought was, well, we'll have a legislature and these people will serve and then they'll go home. Well, that sounds like a good idea, really, serve and go home. But then you end up with people that have been in Congress forever or served in Congress so long, you can't remember a time that they weren't in Congress. So maybe the idea has some merit to get together and have a constitutional convention. I always felt like that this was a good way to do it because then we can start looking at some ways to be able to maybe talk about some of these things. Balanced budget, which none of these guys will talk about because, you know, pork barrel spending, they kind of like that. And, of course, the term limits. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
They're not going to vote themselves out of a job. Hey, let's talk to Jess in Schoolcraft. Jess, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment as a citizen here that's not involved with any politics at all, so to speak. I really think it'd be a great idea to get these people together, and I do believe that personally, a majority of people in this country, especially after the last few years of what's been going on in Washington, would love to go in there and to be able to say, look, a balanced budget is a requirement. There are some states that have it at this time and so on, and some organizations have it and so on. And also the term limit thing, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, guys like Robert Byrd from Virginia, West Virginia there, my God, he has to live to 500 to spend all his money. You know, he's gone now, I'm sorry about that. But you know what I'm saying? That's just one of the crazy things that goes on in Washington. And I do believe that an awful lot of people in this country would support it.
Okay. Well, Jess, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And it's interesting to note that because a lot of these senators and representatives, they bring home the bacon.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that money that goes into bridges that don't go anywhere in particular. And, you know, you just go to West Virginia at all, Robert Byrd's name is on everything.
Yeah.
You know, because, hey, he's the guy that sent the money home to begin with. You know, and it makes him feel good, sure. But in the end, are all these federal buildings with people's name on them, is that money well spent? Or is it money well spent to say, you know what? Let's maybe get some of that money back in the hands of the people that gave it to us to begin with.
Yeah, or, show me what you've done.
Yeah, you know, something that's productive and worthwhile.
That would be
possible.
Yeah, is it possible?
News coming up and more with you. Keep it here. The show continues ahead. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, Roger Taylor with the day off. And we've got Michael over there, the maven of dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia.
Yes.
And he's come, I don't know what it is. I think he just has way too much time on his hands because he usually comes up with a list of about 14 of these things.
Yeah. And okay, some of them become dated and I can't use them then.
You know, but I guess you're a master of the trivial. I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's even better than saying it's dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia or not. But
I don't know. Whatever we want to call it, we can call it.
There it is. Well, we could call it incredibly smart trivia, but it's not as fun.
So, no.
But nevertheless, if you have been just absolutely chomping at the bit to answer correctly one of Michael's dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia questions, your opportunity is upon you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what you're going up for, and don't start calling until I give the phone number out, and don't start calling until the question is asked.
Yes, please.
So here we go. What it's up for is a couple of tickets to go see Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. Brand new movie. It's out this Friday, and you can see it at Celebration Cinema in Portage, a place that you can go and watch a movie in style.
Yes.
So you can go... And, you know, this is the perfect place to take a date because you got a ticket here for you and for him or her and nobody else. So you don't have to take anybody else, just the two of you.
Yeah, you don't have to try to drag along a couple other friends.
There you go. You could do this and just be the hero in this situation. You're always the hero when you win something. You
know? Yes.
But in this case, you get to win a couple of these tickets. We will give them away if you give us a call at, here's the numbers, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And you have to answer correctly this dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael's about to give you. Go ahead.
All right. What is the highest range of mountains in Michigan?
Range of mountains in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very flat state by comparison.
Yes. If you'd like a hint, just... look up north.
Well, you're giving it away here. Well, we'll find out if anybody can get that tallest mountain range in the state of Michigan. You can give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, and you can win yourself a couple of tickets to see Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, courtesy of WKZO and Celebration Cinema in Portage. That's an excellent place to be able to see yourself a movie and some good stuff coming out. Apparently, there's an animated movie that's coming out here pretty soon. It's called The Nut Job. And I saw a preview for this several months ago. This is a cute, cute movie, one that appears to be well worth seeing. I have it on good authority. I heard that that particular movie that Tim from The Morning Show, Tim Abramowski, is talking about seeing that one himself. That right there is the that's all the endorsement you really need right there. But sounds interesting. I may have to check that one out a little bit later. All right. So according to Michael, we have an answer for his dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia questions.
Yes.
So, all right. Who was it that knew and what did they know?
Jack Arnold from Richland was our winner.
Okay.
And he was the first caller I took, too.
Wow.
Yeah, I was surprised. I don't know if my hint had helped out or not, but the answer was the Porcupine Mountains.
Okay, say that again?
The Porcupine Mountains.
Okay. Where are these, anyway? I'm assuming UP.
Yep, they're located in the Upper Peninsula.
Okay. And they're actually known as mountains up there?
Yes. Yes, I've actually traveled up one. I've walked up the Sugarloaf Mountain.
Oh, okay.
Up there.
Okay.
Me and my cousin did that.
Okay. No, I have to ask because I've been in the UP for a grand total of 10 minutes. So, yeah, that's. I just went up there, went across the bridge, and. Okay. Yep. Great. Let's go back.
Well, yeah. Well, when we were up there on vacation one time, we actually went into Wisconsin for about 10 minutes and came back.
Just so you can say. All
just
right.
So we can say.
It's on my list of yes. states now. That was probably a good idea. I've not actually been there myself, so.
Yep, we crossed the border, I bought a pop, and we turned around.
Okay, so that's the qualifier. When you go to a state, in order to have it count, you got to buy a drink.
Yes.
There you go. It's Michael's book of how you should travel around the country, apparently. So we continue ahead. As we continue ahead, you know, we talked about that constitutional convention. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. There's some governors that are for it, some state legislatures that are looking at it. But what do you think? Is it a good idea or a bad idea? Here's the numbers, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as the program continues ahead. Continue ahead on the program. Now, we talked about that. It's one thing that has never been done in this country is a constitutional convention. And it's actually outlined. Article 5 of the Constitution, it allows for doing a constitutional convention, the idea to be able to say, all right, if this isn't working, let's get back together and make sure that it works. I think a genius way of making sure that things happen without another revolution going on. We don't need that. We really don't. So a constitutional convention, what would happen is that two-thirds of the state legislatures, 34 states would approve an application for a convention. Then the states would send delegates to the convention, and for an amendment to be adopted, it would have to be approved by three-fourths of the states, which would be, at this point, 38 states. Now, there's a lot of different ideas. Certainly one of the ideas that has been brought up has been the idea of a balanced budget amendment. That's been out there for years. The people have talked about this, that we need to have some way of reining in the spending and making it so that every year everything comes out even.
Yeah.
At least as close to it as possible. So there is talk about that. There is talk about having a congressional term limit amendment. Now, we've got an amendment that limits the terms of presidents. And, you know, I think by and large, I mean, there's been some presidents that say, oh, it's a bad idea. That should go away. Mostly it's people like Bill Clinton that really wanted to stay in office for a good long while. But and Ronald Reagan actually supported the idea of repealing that one as well. But I think for the most part, most of us would say, you know what? Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to elect someone different to that office at least every 8 years, if not a little more often. But congressional term limits are not something that have ever come into play. They wouldn't normally because it's the congressman that would have to vote on them to begin with. And I think, really, if you look at the way that the founders originally intended this and the framers of the Constitution kind of thought, well, that's common sense. Why would you want to serve in Congress all your life? Nobody would want that. So they didn't think to put it in there, at least in my opinion. I think the other thing is they didn't think to put in a balanced budget amendment because it was kind of one of those things to say, that's kind of elementary.
It's common sense that we should have one.
Yeah, I mean, it's common sense you should balance the budget, so why do you need the amendment? I'm sure that's kind of what the framers were thinking. But now with common sense, the only thing common about it is its name.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need stuff like that because then you've got people going, well, I got this town that has six people in it that needs a bridge to it. No.
No.
If you're one of the six people that live over there, get a boat or whatever, yeah. You know. But it's things like that that you got to try and avoid. And I think some sort of an amendment that says, all right, congressional terms are this. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can run for election once, twice, whatever it is. But if you think about some of these congressmen, you've heard things about, well, he's running for his 27th term in Congress. If you're running for your 27th term in Congress, it's time to go home.
Yeah.
It's time to go do something else.
That means that you've been running for 54 years?
Mm-hmm.
Or you've been in it for 54 years?
Well, and there's people that are there that long.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Ted Kennedy was there most of his life.
Yes.
Robert Byrd was another one. Strom Thurmond, mm-hmm. another one that was there. I mean, they at the end for Strom Thurmond, they had to wheel him in and wake him up. You know, it's just like, all right, Senator, come on. Time to wake up. We got to vote. What? Okay.
What are we voting on?
Yes. Yes, we will. Yeah, and I don't want to say anything negative about the late Senator Thurmond, but when you get to a certain age, it's time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Time to retire. Yeah, Get some fresh blood in there.
Yeah, you want to retire and enjoy that retirement?
You would think, you know, get home, do some fishing, you know, hunting if you're into that. Of course, for me, it'd probably be playing video games,
yeah,
I suppose.
That would be me, too.
you know, I mean, there's certain pastimes you want to have that aren't running for Congress every 2 years or 6 years or, you know, whatever it is that you do. So I think an amendment like that might make sense. But there might be another amendment that I'm just not seeing here that would be, hey, let's make sure that gets passed. And I think if you were to do a constitutional convention, that's the time when you bring about eight or nine of these things up that we've been wanting to talk about. And let's have a full discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, if you did one of these conventions, the states would be likely sending representatives. A lot of times it would end up being state Senate members, state House members. Some of these people that aren't necessarily members of Congress, which,
mm-hmm.
which might be a good
thing.
Have them talking about it. Because these are people that are used to working together and used to, okay, all right, well, that might not work, but what if we did this?
Yes, exactly. You know, let's have a compromise on it.
And that's the key. And it's the one thing that got a friend of mine, former member of Congress, that he and I had a disagreement at one point because he didn't think that compromise was a good thing. And I think in some cases, compromise is a bad thing. But compromise is what brought us this country.
Mm-hmm.
Compromise is the thing that brought about the Constitution that we all revere on both sides of the aisle. We look at the Constitution and say, great document. Well, a bunch of people that didn't agree on much had to get together and agree on it.
Yes.
And if you read about the process at all, it's fascinating to hear some of the things that they wanted to bring into the document that didn't end up making the cut. And I wish I had an example off the top of my head. I don't. It's something I need to study a little bit more. But to think about the compromise that went into that, all right, well, you know what? Because smaller states need better representation, we've got the Senate. And because larger states need better representation, we've got the House.
Mm-hmm.
Right there is a compromise that's come out and given us Congress. Now, some people would say that's bad because of what they've done in recent years. But ultimately, I think it's good.
Yes.
Because then you've got both sides of the issue represented. You've got large states saying, well, here's our Here's our priorities. And you got small states saying, well, wait a minute. We got some priorities, too. Here they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get together. You talk about it. You get it all hashed out. You sign off on it. And you make sure the president's on board.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that the way that this was designed, the genius of it all, is that if they're doing it right, not much gets done. You know, you talk about a do-nothing Congress. Okay. Pass a budget. Yeah, we want to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in all reality, this was a system that was not made for agreeing on everything.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, this is a system that was made for let's sit down and let's have a vigorous, sometimes heated discussion about these things. And then at the end of the day, we're done and we go home. And there's the thing that I think has been forgotten all along, particularly if you look at Congress. Think about what the two parties do to one another. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the last time you heard the president speak. Well, it's those Republicans that get in the way.
Yeah.
Well, look, if they would just go along with this, we'd be okay. And then, you know, you get the other side of it. John Boehner, I just want people to work with me. You know? But either way, they blame each other.
Yeah, there's no middle ground. They don't want to meet each other in the middle and talk it out.
And the thing that I think about that is so indicative of this, and I know if Roger were here, he'd argue with me, but he's not, so you get to hear me. But think about the way that Obamacare went through. And they talked and talked and talked about, well, we need to sit down with Republicans. They finally did. They didn't espouse one idea the Republicans brought up. The president in that meeting said to Republicans, well, this is how the bill's going to look, and if people don't like it, well, that's what elections are for.
Mm-hmm.
He said something to that very nature. And, okay, I get his point, but you didn't get elected because a majority of people want you to act on what a minority of people want.
Yeah.
You got elected because a majority of people like your ideas. So you bring your ideas to the table, and you hash it out with the other people who brought their ideas to the table. You get it all together. At the end of the day, it's messy, but you put together legislation, and then you go out for a drink afterwards.
Yeah, that's no debate. That's just this is what we're doing, and this is my way, and we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you don't want to see that. I don't want to see that on either side.
No.
And I think that's a lot of why over the years you've had one party in power in the presidency and a different one in power in Congress. And, you know, even to the point where we've got it now, where Democrats are in charge of one side, Republicans on the other. I think a lot of it is that people say, you know what? We want you guys to hash it out.
Yes.
We want you to work together and be able to come up with this. And you don't see it happening.
No, you don't.
You see a lot of blame and finger pointing and you don't see, and some of it is that there's a whole lot of the blame and finger pointing, but I think there's some of it, too, that there's not a lot of moderates in Congress anymore. You notice this?
Yeah, it's more like one person's completely on the left, one person's completely on the right.
I mean, you got your Nancy Pelosi's there, and they're there with, Senator Cruz from Texas. You know, and these are two sides of the spectrum.
Yes.
And you got guys like Boehner in the middle going, I don't know. I don't have any idea. It's frustrating to think about. But that's why, to me, an idea like a constitutional convention, I think its time has come.
Yes,
really,
it has.
Because we've got Congress that will not work together. They just won't. You've got a president that reminded people the other day that I've got a pen and I got a phone and executive orders. And, you know, and he told Democrats today, I'll work with or without Congress. That's scary to me.
Yeah, that's taking complete control.
I don't want to see that.
No, that's supposed to be all equal.
That's not what he was elected for. He wasn't elected to dictate terms to the country. It was to work together. That's what the Constitution has set out to make happen, is the president does his part, Congress does their part, and then the judicial is over here to make sure they're all doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that it should work, instead of, well, these guys aren't working. This guy's threatening to do what he shouldn't be able to do. I think at that point, you have people in state legislatures rise up and say, you know what? It's time to look at that. It's time to look at a constitutional convention. It's time to do some of these common sense things that people just aren't doing. You know, now is that the place to say, oh, well, here's legislation on getting jobs in this country? No. But it's a get-together that just simply says to our government, here are the rules that you have to operate in.
Mm-hmm.
And we think you've been operating outside the lines for far too long, so here they are. Here are the lines. Here are the rules. And you operate in this space and this space alone.
And we'll hold you accountable for them, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other part of it, too, is holding them accountable, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. Hold your representatives, your senators, hold them accountable for what they say and what they do. Let them know, because they represent you, whether you voted for them or not. If they won, they represent you. They need to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
They should hear from you on a regular basis. And if you say, well, that sort of thing, it doesn't necessarily work, I can only point out to you that sometimes some of these representatives hear from so many of their people that they can't help but to have to vote a certain way on issues.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to, because there's too many people that have called in and said, nope, this is the way that it needs to be. And if you don't do it, well, I'm going to vote for the other guy next time.
Yeah.
So just my two cents worth closes out the show today. Glad you took time to be with us. You know what? Let's get together tomorrow and do it again.
Yeah, let's.
Till then, see ya.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.